Representative Callis.
The first issue to come before us is House Joint Resolution Number 24, relating to the management of walrus population. I note that a representative from Department of Fish and Game is in the audience, so I thought we'd get started. Mr. Campbell, in the hopes that by the time he's through, which probably won't take very long now, that Representative McLean will show up. In fact, here she comes, so we'll do that. I was just trying to get us going. Representative McLean. Please join us at the table. We've just brought up HJR 24. And if you'd like to say a few things about it to us, we're ready to listen.
Thank you very much, Chairman Moyer and committee members. And thank you for giving me this opportunity to speak to you on House Joint Resolution 24, which relates to the management of walrus population. The purpose of this resolution is to echo the state of Alaska's support on behalf of the Eskimo Walrus Commission, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. And it is to thwart any proposed changes to the appendix designations of Pacific walrus by convention on international trade in endangered species of wild flora and fauna, CITES. I urge your support on House Joint Resolution 24, which opposes any proposed changes by CITES to list the Pacific walrus to Appendix 2 from Appendix 3 of CITES, Master Listing of Endangered Species. The walrus resource is regulated internationally. The ability of the native residents to traditionally and customarily take the walrus will severely impact the hunting and subsistence take of the walrus. Most importantly, local, state, and national control would be taken away from our ability to manage our own resources. The change will hinder the memorandum of agreement signed by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Services, Alaska Department of Fish and Game, and the Eskimo Walrus Commission. This agreement is an effective tool to manage the walrus and other marine mammal resources within the state of Alaska, and it has required years of hard work to have this memorandum of agreement, and I would urge your support on this resolution. If you have any questions, I'm willing to answer them.
Thank you, Rachel. Any questions? Well, I note that there are several letters of support in the packet, and I presume we do have a statement from Mr. Campbell?
The sponsor,
Representative Hudson.
I support the resolution, Representative. But recently, I was reading where the walrus population was noticed appreciably down, and maybe Mr. Campbell will be speaking to that. But I didn't read any more about that. I wondered if there had been any understanding of what happened to all the walrus. Have you read about that, or are you aware of what I'm talking about?
No, I do remember that there were some articles about the take of walrus from the Nome area.
Yeah, they just were missing. Great quantities of the population are missing, and I just wondered if you got any information on that.
Maybe Mr. Campbell can.
Mr. Campbell doesn't know where they went. He shook his head. He said, I don't know where they went. That's good. Thank you.
Thank you again. Mr. Campbell.
Thank you very much. I'm going to be very brief of necessity because I'm facing a fairly steep learning curve down in Fish and Game and has not included a lot of walrus up to this point. But for the record, my name is Makai Campbell and I'm representing the Alaska Department of Fish and Game.
And let me excuse one time. I need to note that Representative Choquette has joined us and Senator Fisher as well.
Please continue that. Thank you. Just very briefly, to my understanding from some conversations with our marine mammal experts, they do not know about the fluctuations in walrus. It is an issue of some substantial research within the department right now. But overall, I believe the walrus population is regarded as being at a very healthy level. Though there is concern for the specific dips that I think Representative Hudson mentioned. The particular concern of this resolution is the conventional and international trade in endangered species of wild flora and fauna. There is some discussion that they might try to move the walrus, as Representative McLean testified, from Appendix 3 to Appendix 2, which would severely limit the ability of Alaska to be involved in the management of walrus and of the native people who are currently utilizing walrus to continue to do that in the manner which they've become, for which they have done it in a customary traditional way. There is a zero fiscal note. However, if there was a motion to move the walrus from Appendix 3 to Appendix 2, we would know of that. That would have to be submitted by October 4th of 1991. And if that happened, it would probably be in the state's interest to look at sending a representative to the convention. There would be an opportunity for the next session of this legislature to appropriate the money. In 1987, there were approximate costs to the state of about $10,000 to send a two-person delegation. They felt this was extremely helpful. The Alaska Outdoor Council came up with additional funding to fund those two representatives of the department to the convention. That's all I've got.
Thank you, Mr. Campbell. Any questions for him? I do appreciate your straightforward testimony. Convincing, I might add. I would at this time entertain a motion, Representative Ellis.
Convince me, Mr. Chairman. So I'll move that the committee move H.A.R. 24 on to the next committee of referral with individual recommendations.
So ordered. There are no objections. With that, we'll proceed to the next part of our program. Representative Payne, feel free to stay and if you like and get a T-shirt and a license plate and watch the Highway 92. Senator Fisher? Welcome to the table, the chairman of the Senate International Trade and Tourism Committee. And at this time, I'd like to call upon Susie Kent and Dennis. Did you want to come up too, or
no? I'll let
you. Okay. With the Great Alaska Highway Society, I just came from a Commerce and Economic Development Subcommittee budget hearing where we heard some of your presentations. We represent Representative Kent and I, but we didn't get to see the video.
Okay.
So, but I'll let you start off. From the top. For the record, your name and...
I'm Susie Kemp. I'm Executive Director for the Great Alaska Highway Society. And first of all, I wanted to draw your attention. You've probably all taken a look at this, but this license plate is available through the Great Alaska Highway Society for $10. And I think you have a copy of a bill that Senator Schultz has introduced. Hopefully we'll get a waiver to be able to put these license plates on the front of the automobiles in Alaska, as they're now doing in Yukon Territory. I was just over to Whitehorse, and most of the cars over there have one of these on the front of them. So it would be real nice if we could do that here in Alaska, too. I also wanted to present each of you with a very limited edition T-shirt. Makes you a member of Road Crew 92. These are not available for sale. They're only available through our office. We make them as presentations at the workshops that we're doing in the communities throughout the state of Alaska. And there's quite a lot of excitement for people becoming a part of Road Crew 92.
Excuse me, for the record, we've been joined by Senator Sturgiewski. Welcome, Senator.
And with that, I guess we can take a look at the video. I understand that somebody's going to operate this for me.
David, we're looking at about a 5-minute version or so.
Yeah, we'll look at the first part.
This is 14 minutes long, and you're going to see, 5 minutes of it.
And in fact, this was produced for what purpose? Some other?
This was produced for corporate fundraising, but we thought it was so good that
this
part
began
a
growing
nice
in Watson Lake in 19.
Yeah.
The rest of it? Thanks,
Susan.
Mm-hmm.
David? And you have, I think, in front of all of you, our information packet and funding request. And I might mention that we used that video, actually was done in a 6-projector slide format to be used at corporate fundraising, but we had it made into a video and also into a 16-millimeter. I think many of you probably received one in the mail, but we do have them available if anyone would like one. The 16-millimeter we use in the communities as we go around throughout the state because they show a little nicer on a big screen, and we use them in the community awareness programs that we're doing.
Jim?
Senator Sturgiewski?
Susan, I
very frankly been disappointed that my own community, that there has been as little information in South Central as there has been. And my own community is not, have they reached out and I just am not aware of that?
In Anchorage?
Yes.
We have, now have a community coordinator in Anchorage. As a matter of fact, I should say we have 25 community coordinators now that we've identified that have contacted us. We're going to be doing a program. I've been to Anchorage and spoke now at least 6 times. Mm-hmm. We're going to be in Anchorage, I believe it's the 3rd week in March, and do a community awareness program where we'll be presenting the t-shirts and going through the whole thing that we've done in smaller communities. In addition to that, Dennis Geary is on our board of directors, and he lives in Anchorage. He's been doing some of the things like we were given space in the Northway Mall, mm-hmm. Had a kiosk there and sold license plates and dispensed information. We also did that at the Alaska Historical Society's convention.
Good.
And we have several other things on tap. We're going to be doing the sportsman show there. And I can't remember, just the list is fairly long. We'll be doing, I've already done the Eagle River Chamber of Commerce. I did the Matt Sue Convention Visitors Bureau Banquet, and we're going to be doing a big program in the Palmer Matt Sue area that same week.
Well, everybody in Alaska benefits.
Yeah, we're going to be doing, in the next 2 weeks of March, from the 13th, we'll be doing the entire Kenai Peninsula and the Matt Sue Borough. We have about 12 programs that we're going to be doing in those communities.
And will you also be doing programs in the Southeast? As we
yes.
talked about earlier in subcommittee today, that it's anticipated that many of the people do travel the road through Canada, hopefully Fairbanks and Anchorage and Kenai will probably take the ferry back through the Southeast.
Mm-hmm. We have
really
a
community
in Ketchikan, in Sitka. We have one in Skagway and in Haines. Of course, we're directly connected because of their involvement with the construction of
sure,
the highway. And we've already done a program in Haines. We got into Haines at a bad time, and we had to spend an extra day there because of a little extra snow, so we didn't make Skagway, but we will be doing Skagway in May.
Sounds like you're moving right along.
We are, and we're real pleased with the excitement that's being generated in the communities. You know, the Canadians are quite a ways ahead of us because they've had a substantial amount more funding,
mm-hmm.
and as a matter of fact, got $250,000 in the Yukon Territory to hire community coordinators. And I said, boy, I could get community coordinators in a hurry if I had $250,000 to hire them. But I'm really proud of the fact that we have a tremendous grassroots organization.
Uh-huh.
And although we're here looking for funding, too, you know, it's because there are some things that you just can't expect the communities are going to be able to cover. And we have, in the last 6 months, raised $47,000 from small businesses. And we're talking about $100 at a crack that sometimes is hard for those folks to come up with. And I, you know, that makes me feel really good that we've got that kind of grassroots support.
I appreciate your coming to this committee. Are you also working with Natural Resources Department regarding campground facilities along the way,
yes.
DLT, regarding scenic turnouts, and the capital aspect we've been talking about the operating here?
We have been very fortunate in that Janet McCabe from the National Park Service and Kurt McVee from the Alaska Land Use Council worked with me and coordinated a program which has now developed into what we call the Interagency Committee, and it consists of representatives from all the state and federal agencies that are affected by this. And we meet about every 2 months in Anchorage. We'll be meeting in, matter of fact, the 7th, this month, we'll be meeting in Anchorage. And there's been subcommittees formed out of that group looking at different issues that might present potential problems, and there's really being a lot of progress made in that area. So I think that's, I used to have nightmares about how I'd contact all the agencies one at a time, and this has been a real good forum for being able to talk with these people and get input and be able to work out some of the potential problems. We're also working closely with the new State Campground Association, which has been a real plus since that's formed. It's a private operators association, and so we're able to work closely with them. And before this is all over, I think we're going to have a wonderful network of information for travelers, particularly independent travelers who come in, to be able to access and know where all the campgrounds are and what the facilities are, both public and private. And I think we'll see a lot of things done. I know that you're all going to be seeing in a lot of budgets requests for money to support different things like scenic pull-offs and signage and that sort of thing that are going to be coming out. I wanted to mention something about...
Senator Fisher, excuse
me. I'm just curious, what was the cost of the video production?
$75,000.
And it was done by, what, an in-state firm?
No, it was done by a firm in Vancouver that had quite a track record in producing this type of thing for Expo 86. That was jointly funded by Yukon, BC, and Alaska on a per-share basis.
Representative Hudson.
Thank you. Susan, what you're looking to try to generate an additional 30,000 highway visitors. What will be the primary vehicle that you'll use to stimulate those additional travel? Are you going to use television? Are you going to use...
Actually, we're not going to be using too much television because of the expense of that. We're going to rely an awful lot on our programs, the advertising programs that are in place in all three of the jurisdictions in terms of television advertising. But what we're doing is a campaign of, we have the entire back page of the map and the milepost, the pullout map. We also have a full page ad in there. We'll have a full page ad in our vacation planner, as there will be a substantial amount of advertising in the vacation planners for both BC and Yukon. We also are targeting all of the magazines like Modern Maturity, RV owner magazines. We have a lot of editorial and advertising we're going to be doing with the Good Sam folks and that sort of thing. We're also doing RV and sports shows. Dennis recently did the one in Anaheim, the RV show in Anaheim, and got a tremendous response. He spent 10 grueling days on his feet learning what trade shows are all about. But they're not fun. They're a lot of work to stand 10 days and talk to people. But we're doing the Milwaukee show, which is a real big one for RV traffic. We also had a gentleman at... we're working very cooperatively with all the CVBs, and wherever we can nail somebody to take our stuff with them, Valdez Convention and Visitors Bureau went to Orlando, and we shipped a case of our brochures along with them. And in addition to the show that Dennis did, we had some coverage in a Tacoma boat show and a Seattle boat show. All across the country, wherever we can, we're plugging into these and sending our brochures along.
So primarily print advertising,
primarily,
and then trade shows and industry. AAA?
Yes. As a matter of fact, through the Tourism North program, Tourism North produces the North to Alaska Highway brochure. They produced a video about traveling the highway. And fortunately for us, they sent 3,000 copies of their video to AAA offices and tagged ours on the end of it. So all of the AAA offices have a copy of our video now.
Very good.
And that video is also not our video, but theirs is available for purchase through their brochure, and ours is tagged on the end of it. It's not part of the sales because we don't have commercial rights to this video, but it's just an added thing that they get with it.
Susan, is there any particular effort being made to contact those who worked on the project through the military or their families to invite them?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, we've received hundreds of inquiries in the last 6 months about that. We did some letters to editors in newspapers all across the country, and we're following those up with photos, with cut lines, asking for these people to contact us and let us know where it is that they work, because there's a lot of effort being made to have reunions on the different sections of the highway. Most of the people worked a particular section, and so we're trying to tie them in with the section where they worked and then tie them in with the community that's going to have a reunion.
Senator Sturzenowski?
Have you been aware of the work that Layla Morgan
yes.
has done?
Mm-hmm.
Layla Morgan is doing a major story for the National Geographic, and what they found that there were many black soldiers involved and never received recognition.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's a number. You're aware of it.
We have the good fortune of, there's a gentleman in Fairbanks named Charles Mason, who is a photographer, and his father was a white officer in one of the black regiments, and the gentleman is very spry and just a delightful person. And he came to Alaska and spent some time with us. And he is very concerned about the lack of recognition for the black troops. There were three black regiments that worked on the highway. One in particular that worked on the when they came in from Valdez and went in at Solana and went to Tok. And so we're trying very hard to tie that in. Lael is also working on a traveling exhibit through the University of Alaska Museum that will focus just on the black history and involvement of that. In addition to that, the University of Alaska plans a major exhibit and a couple of other smaller traveling exhibits, but there will be one focusing directly on the black involvement.
Representative Hudson?
Another question, looking at the International Joint Committee proposed expenditures 90 to 93. In 92, you indicate $2 million for official ceremonies. Maybe you can tell me what that is.
Yes. What we have done is established that we want to have what we call an opening ceremony that hope to have telecast and done simultaneously at Dawson Creek, Whitehorse, and Fairbanks. And that's a fairly expensive operation to put that together. We also are looking at a rededication ceremony to be done on November 20th, 1992 at Soldiers Summit. That's been my reaction too. And in talking to people who produce those sorts of events, that's where the $2 million figure came. That will be corporate funded. That's also the purpose of this video, is to use to raise corporate funds for that sort of an event. Another international event that you might be interested in is last week I had Colonel Obie Philp, who is the father of the Canadian Snowbirds, here in Alaska for 2 days, and he's been hired by the International to produce aviation events related to the Northwest Staging Route. And there will be an armada that will come up the highway starting at Great Falls in July and will travel all through all of the runways that are still usable, and it will consist of modern military aircraft from the U.S., Canada, and possibly Russia, in addition to three or four of the vintage planes that were used at that time. And that will run through July. There will also be five international air shows that will have the military flying teams, the Snowbirds, the Thunderbirds, and possibly some private aerobatic teams that will start at Great Falls, go to Edmonton, Fort St. John, Whitehorse, and then at Eielson. And then the third one will be a floatplane race from Dawson Creek to Fairbanks. So there's some pretty substantial aviation-related events that we feel are going to be quite helpful in creating media attention. And also, I should add, we'll do a lot, we think, to encourage travel on the highway in 93 because of the timing of them and the fact that we're reasonably sure that they're going to get some national media attention. We think that, and that's one of the things we've been concerned about, is that we don't want this to be a big peak in 92 and drop off. We're looking at 93 and 94. And by having these things happening in the summer of 92 and getting media attention, and then the rededication ceremony in November of 92, we know that we'll be tying into that market of the next couple of years. So that's part of what we're focusing our marketing on.
Thanks, Susan. Every time I hear a presentation, I learn a little bit more about the amazing variety of things you've got planned. Any further questions for Ms. Kent? Well, thank you very much.
Thank you for your time.
That concludes the joint part of our session. However, I would like to point out that we are inviting the Senate to once again join us on Wednesday when we're going to hear from two South African consuls, Stefan Buys and Hank Root, on South African trade and tourism policies. Senator Fisher, thanks for attending. Just one more thing for the record. Representative Taylor did join us around 5:20, and also on Wednesday we will very likely once again take up House Bill 46 related to the Aerospace Development Corporation. And with no further business before the committee, we are adjourned at 5:43.